Good morning, Rabbi Sai. So we said yesterday we'll start discussing about the position of the menorah, and especially in the light of modern shalas, like for instance, talking about specifically blocks of flats, where you have tall high rises, you have blocks of flats that are 20, 30 stories tall. Now, to soil, you have clusters of them. And we have today double decker buses. So, do you count the 20 amas from the roya on the 20 on the upper deck of the bus, or when you come into when you arrive in Tel Aviv on the plane? So you fly over Tel Aviv on Hanukkah. It could be that you could see maybe the menorahs burning in a high-riser block. And similarly, a high-riser block where you've got, I mean, in Bnei Brak, you could have a high-riser block, and if everybody would light by the menorah by the window, you'd see dozens of menorahs all the way up, and the people all the way up on the next block can see dozens of menorahs in the block adjoining them. So maybe that should be all right. Chazal said 20 amas, and 20 amas is only 3 stories high. And in those days, they had narrow roads, and they had buildings that weren't more than 2 or 3 stories high anyway. The Gemara speaks about habayis for aliyah, ground floor and a first floor. They gave a reason for it, or what? That you wouldn't notice it. Lo shalta
be'eino. It gives us a chance to make a structure from this.
What do you mean by structure?
Not the same structure. Once we know the reason.
Yes.
We have a possibility.
Oh, so we've got. So what I'm saying is, there are new possibilities that have arisen since the days of Chazal, when they had narrow streets and low buildings, right? There are new possibilities that have arisen, which maybe mean that. So the question really is, somebody who lives on the 30th floor of a tower block, let's say, well, you could say in England, but in Eretz Yisrael, yeah. Where should he light? Should he light by the window? Should he light inside the flat? Should he light by the door of the flat? Should he light at the door of the bottom? Zukter, the mechaber. Ne'er Chanukah manicha al Pesach asomach l'rushus harabim mibachutz. Now that's Pasha's talking about a place where a person has a house and he has a door which is facing straight to the rushus harabim. Right, this is the situation in many houses in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, they have a house. You have a house, you've got a door. The door is facing the street. Yeah, then he puts it al haPesach hasomach l'rushus harabim b'chutz. We'll see exactly where, but he places it by the door at the door which leaves the house and goes to the rushus harabim. But that's him habayis pasuach l'rushus harabim. And if the house is open to the rushus harabim, in other words, there's a door to the rushus harabim, then manichal pischoy. But that's if you have a house with a door facing the street direct. What happens, as there's many cases when you learn in the Gemara, where the typical situation was that you had a cluster, you had a group of houses around the chotzer. You have 5 houses, and the 5 houses, each of them has a door to the chotzer, and then the chotzer has a door to the rishus harabim. So they've got like a front garden which serves a number of houses, and that chotzer then has, and it's private, but it's shared. But it's shared. We could talk about the lobby of blocks of flats as well, the ground floor lobby or the front garden of a block of flats. Front garden of a block of flats. So the number of diras which are sharing the chotzer, and then the chotzer has a door to the rishus harabim. So do you place your menorah at the door to the chotzer, or do you place your menorah at the door from the chotzer to the rishus harabim, the external door or the internal door? Zot demchaber, ve'im yesh chotzer lifnei habayis, if there is a chotzer in front of the house, then manichoi al pesach hechotzer. Then you place it not on the door from the chotzer to the street, but on the door from the bayis to the chotzer. In other words, the communal chotzer becomes your, in inverted commas, rishus harabim, your presumenesis to all the people who are using the shared chotzer, which would be a lot less than the people passing.
If you have a private garden like in London, we've got a front garden.
Yeah. Well, we're going to learn all the halachas, right? We'll get there. But at the moment, what the Gemara is telling me is that if you have a door to the street, then you put it straight. You put it on the by the door to the street. If you have a door to a chotzer and then a door to the street, then you're placing it at the door of the chotzer and not the door to the street. This is the chotzer shared. This is chotzer shared at the moment, right? We're saying a shared chotzer because you've got your presumenissa to the other people who are using the chotzer. Okay, we'll carry on, Bliyadu. We'll sort all these shadows out, Miyatz Hashem.
Started at the Torway, Northwest London, Tuesday. Yud Beis Cheshvan, 2nd December, Rabbi Matisio Lawrence Schlitter, Gid Hanoshe. This week's Rebbe is one of somebody posing on the gate with their daughter Gila posing Chetichia to Neriya Chaim Batur of Neriya. Yerotzen Shem Bais Tem Bishor the Shem Bishol. But in Nishmas, our founder Reb Yosef Dov Ben Reb Shimon Michal Tzvi Itzkovitz of Ranelli Brachol.
Good morning, everyone. It's nice to be back. It's been a while since I've spoken here. So the topic we're going to look at today is the inyan of Gid Hanoshe. In this week's parsha, Parshas Vayishlach, so we have the mitzvah of Gid Hanoshe. So this is not really an often discussed mitzvah. People tend not to talk about it all that much, possibly because we feel it's not so relevant to us. We go to the butcher if we want to buy meat, and we buy our nice pre-packaged meat, which is all ready done for us. And we never even see the Gid Hanoshe of any animal that we might eat the meat from that animal. And therefore, we're not really connected. The actual word Gid means connected. We're not really connected to this topic of Gid Hanoshe. But I thought it's actually something to learn and look into, because there are a number of different, very important points which the Mefarshim actually bring out in Machshava and Hashkofa, which are very relevant and actually very timely and applicable for us. So this mitzvah really all starts in this week's parsha, in the story of Yaakov, who is left alone, and we find that he fights with an ish. The Torah describes him as an ish. The Pasuk says in Bereishis, Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Chof Hei, Vayivaseh Yaakov Levadoi, Yaakov was left alone, Vayivavik Ish Imoi Ad Alois HaShachar. And a man fought with him, wrestled with him, Ad Alois HaShachar, until the break of dawn. Chazal tell us in the Medrash that this Ish was no regular person. This Ish was the Sarai Shel Esav, the Malach of Esav. Chazal tell us that every nation has a Sar, has a ministering angel above it. And this man that Yaakov was fighting with all night long was the Sarai Shel Esav. And the apostle describes, it doesn't really tell us much about this fight, but it just says it took place until Alois HaShachar. And the Pasuk says, Vayar ki loy yochoy loy. The Malach saw that he was not able to overcome and defeat Yaakov. Vayiga b'chaf yirechoy. He touched kaf yirechoy. Exactly what is kaf yirechoy? Kaf normally means something which is circular. Kaf, like a palm of a hand, is a circular type of area of the body. Kaf yirechoy is really the socket joint of the thigh. That's where the Malach touched. Vateka kaf yerech Yaakov. And he dislocated it. Behe of koi imoy, when he was fighting with him. And then we have the whole story ensues, and he said, Shalcheni, send me away, and he asked him for a bracha, etc. Asked him, what's your name, backwards and forwards. Each one of those points is very important, but the limits of time mean we won't be able to discuss that. But the Pasuk says that, Vayizrach loy Hashemesh, this is Pasuk Lamed Beis, Kasher ova es Penuel, the sun shone for him, especially for Yaakov, Vahud Seilea al Yerechoy. And he was limping on his leg. So this injury, which is caused by the Malach over here, caused Yaakov to limp. And says the Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Al kein lo yoichlu b'nei Yisrael es Gid Hanoshe. Therefore b'nei Yisrael cannot eat, they must not eat the Gid Hanoshe, asher kaf hayorech, which is by this socket joint, ad hayoyim hazeh, till this day, ki noga b'kaf yerech Yaakov Gid Hanoshe. That's what the Malach touched. He touched that area. Because of that, we mustn't eat it. Which gives rise to a number of different questions. Just because that's what the Malach did, he touched him and he injured him perhaps in that area, why does that mean that we are not allowed to eat that area from an animal? Clearly, there must be some symbolic idea, some kind of message which this mitzvah is designed to convey to us and to give us something which we can take away from it. So, just to define, before we continue, what exactly is the Gid Hanoshe? So, scientifically, it's referred to as the sciatic nerve. It's a nerve that runs down from over here. I think Dr. Harris will help us with the anatomy, etc., physiology. And the sciatic nerve runs down. Sometimes people get sciatica, which is when there's some kind of inflammation in this nerve. Hurts quite a lot, from experience, I know. And It goes down, runs down the back of the leg. And animals have the sciatic nerve as well, and that is what we're not allowed to eat. Now, if you actually look at a sciatic nerve, a gid hanosher, you wouldn't really have much inclination to eat it anyway, because it's a very woody type of dry material that it's made from. It's a gid, and you wouldn't really want to eat it anyway. But nevertheless, the Torah forbids it. Like the Torah forbids other things, such as shkotzim, urumosim, dam, various different things, creepy crawlies, blood, other things that we wouldn't want to eat anyway. But the Torah says over here, this is considered to be a chepza shel isser. This is something which is also, you're not allowed to eat it. If it fell into other food, we would have a question, would it impart taste to the other food? The Gemara has a discussion, yesh begidin benoy sein tam, or ein begidin benoy sein tam. That is a discussion in the Gemara, again, not for now. But the Torah forbids us, so even if you did want to eat the gid hanosher, you're not allowed to. Why is it called the gid hanosher? What's the meaning of the word nosher? So again here, the Mefarshim have different pshatim what the word nosher actually means. Rashi says, lefisha nosher mimkoimoy va'ola. It dislocated from its place. Rashi says it's an idea of dislocation. Other Mefarshim say it's an idea of weakening. It's an idea of becoming weaker than it was before, and they bring other places in Tanakh where that root is actually used. And that's what the Gid HaNosha actually is. Now, the question is, what is this all about exactly? Why? What is the message that the Torah is telling us over here? The Mishnah says in Chulin that there's machlokes there between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachomim, whether this actually applies to a non-kosher animal or not, or does this only apply to a kosher animal? In other words, a non-kosher animal, obviously you're not allowed to eat from it anyway, but if somebody did, would they be over, would they transgress not only achilas, novela, trefa, or dovatome, something like that, but the issur of gid hanosher? Would eating the gid hanosher of a animal which is not a kosher animal, a behemoth tamea, would they be over the issa? Would they transgress the issa of gid hanosha? So we find that this is a machlokes in the Mishnah in Chulin, Perek Gid Hanosha, which is Perek Zayin, Mishnah Vav. The Mishnah brings the opinion of the Tanakama. Tanakama says it only applies to a kosher animal. It doesn't apply to a non-kosher animal. Rabbi Yehuda holds it applies even to a non-kosher animal. And therefore, if a person ate the gid hanosher from a non-kosher animal, they would be transgressing the issur of gid hanosher. So Rabbi Yehuda says to the Chachamim, this is all in the Mishnah over there, I don't know how you can say that it only applies to a kosher animal. Because at the time when it became prohibited, which was seemingly in this week's parasha, there was no such thing as a kosher animal and a non-kosher animal. The Torah hadn't yet been given, and therefore, there wasn't such a thing. So when it applied, it must have applied across the board to all animals. There was no distinction between kosher animals and non-kosher animals, at least in Halacha, at that point. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, if the Torah says that you're not allowed to have a gid hanosher, it must be that it applies to non-kosher animals as well. The Chachamim answer back, and they say, no. Because really the Issa only came in when? At Sinai, when the Torah was given. The Pasuk, which is in this week's Parsha, was written by Moshe Rabbeinu on the instruction of Hashem, this is what the Mefarshim say, to explain what is the reason why we have the Issa of Gid HaNosher. And it was written in this week's Parsha. But the Issa only came in at Matan Torah. And therefore, since it came in at Matan Torah, the distinction between kosher animals and non-kosher animals was also made at that time, because that's when the halachas of kashrus came in. So, when the Torah commanded us at Har Sinai not allowed to eat the gid hanosher, say the chachamim, the Torah put this issa only on kosher animals and not on non-kosher animals. So, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion and applies from the time of Yaakov himself, Bnei Yaakov, and it applies to both kosher and non-kosher animals. And the Opinion of the Chachamim is it applies only to kosher animals because it was given at Sinai. So there's two machlokesim over here which are really dependent on one another. One machlokes, when was the mitzvah actually given? Was it at the time of the event? Or was it at Har Sinai? And as a function of that machlokes, is the mitzvah, is the issa only on kosher animals or on non-kosher animals? That's what the Mefarshim say.
Could argue the other way, that the original Gidon Moshe was human.
Right.
Which is like more like the Hematomeo than the Hematahira.
Okay.
The actual right. Gidon Moshe was a human.
Was a human. Okay. Yeah. They don't bring that, but okay. I hear the point. So, let's go into understanding a little bit what the Mefarshim say. What is the background behind this mitzvah? What exactly is it coming to tell us? What's the message for us? And we find in the Mefarshim some very, very different approaches as to what this actually is. So we'll start with one of the Bali HaTosfos, known as Rabbi Yosef B'Choyer Shoyer. It's one of the Bali HaTosfos, he's quoted in Tosfos, and he has his own Pirush Al HaTorah called B'Choyer Shoyer. And the B'Choyer Shoyer says, Al Kein Lo Yoich B'Bnei Yisrael. When the Pasuk says, therefore B'Nei Yisrael mustn't eat the Gid HaNoshe, why not? Says the B'Choyer Shoyer, Li Yois Lohem L'Zikoron. It should be some kind of Zikoron, some kind of memory for us, cause us to remember, ki avihem nilcham im hamaloch, that their father, our ancestor Yaakov Avinu, fought with the Maloch, v'lo yochol loy, and he wasn't able to defeat him. The Maloch wasn't able to overcome. A Maloch, what are we talking about? We can't even imagine what a Maloch actually is. And yet, this Maloch was not able to defeat Yaakov Avinu. This was a nes. U'dekach, Noga b'kaf yurechai b'mokim shagid hanosh eshom, because that was an easy, vulnerable point. He banged him over there. V'hu zikoroin kovoid u'gedula. Says the B'Choyer Shoyer, the mitzvah is a zikoroin of kovoid and gedula. What's the kovoid and the gedula? The fact that Yaakov Avinu was able to battle a malach. And obviously we understand that a battle with a malach is not just simply a physical fight. It's a spiritual fight. It's a fight of ruchnius. We know Chazal tell us, and we'll discuss this a little bit more afterwards, that this fight is representative of the fight between Yaakov and Esav throughout history, as we will talk about soon. And therefore, if the Malach over here was not able to overpower Yaakov, that says a lot about Yaakov. It's a kavod and a gedula for Yaakov, and we want to remember that. The Torah wants us to remember that. And therefore, it says, refrain from eating the Gid HaNoshe, even if you would want to, because we want you to remember this fight that took place and the kovod and the gedula that took place at that point.
You could say the opposite, that's why we should eat it.
That's why you should eat it. Okay. Okay, you should eat it. Okay, but he over here, this was the thing that the Malach chose to injure him. It was the point of vulnerability of Yaakov Avinu. It's easy to get him over there. He couldn't do very much more than that. And therefore, we're going to get a certain respect, he says, over that. We're going to refrain from that. That's the bit that he touched. That's the bit that he tried to injure him. We'll refrain from that. Let's move on. Chizkuni says a number of Pirushim. He brings actually three Pirushim, all of which are very different from one another. The first two will explain. The third one is, I don't really understand what he's saying. Maybe we can work it out. The first pshat of the Chizkuni actually says that this mitzvah is due to an oinesh. It's an oinesh and a knas, a punishment for Bnei Yisrael. Why is it a punishment for Bnei Yisrael? How does this whole story start over here? Vayivoseh Yaakov levadoi. Yaakov was left alone. Why was he left alone? Because his family left him alone. And they didn't look after him, says the Chizkuni. And second, the Chizkuni says, "Sheyesh liknois v'la'anois b'nei Yisrael me'achinas gid hanoshe." This was a knas, a penalty, punishment on b'nei Yisrael that we shouldn't eat the gid hanoshe. Why? "Shehinichu es avihem hoylich yichidi." They left their father going by himself. "Gedichsev vayivosa Yaakov levadoi." Yaakov was left alone. "Vehein hoyki boirim." They were all strong people. They should have waited for their father and to help him if he needed. They didn't fulfill the mitzvah to be melave a person. We know there is a mitzvah, it's brought in Gemara, Shulchan Aruch, to be malave a person. If a person, for example, comes as a guest, you're meant to be malave that person, ideally even to the edge of the city. Place can discuss whether you actually have to do that nowadays because the roads are less dangerous perhaps than they were at that time. And there's discussion in the Poiskim how far this mitzvah actually goes. But the principle is clearly there. And it says that the Bnei Yaakov over here should have accompanied their father. They should not allow him to remain alone. V'huzak al yodom, he was injured. V'huzak al yodom, he was injured through that because of them. U'mikan v'elech yiyor lehem lezeche. So the mitzvah over here that we have to refrain from eating the Gid Hanoshe would be from then onwards, as a zeche, v'yiyu is the reason b'mitzvah slavoy. It's a mitzvah to be malava a person. So this mitzvah over here will serve to remind us of another mitzvah. V'dekach liva Yaakov es Yosef, and that is why Yaakov we find later was malava Yosef. Doesn't go into all the details of that, but the concept, according to the first reason that the Chizkuni is bringing, and this reason, by the way, is brought in many other of the Rishonim as well, other Bali HaTosfos, and bring this, that it's because of a wrongdoing on the part of Klal Yisrael, not having been malava their father, and this is designed to remind us of that mitzvah. So it's interesting that one mitzvah is intended to remind us of another mitzvah. It's an interesting concept. The second explanation, second pshat, which the Chizkuni brings, very different. Very similar to what the Bechor Yeshua said, slightly different words, where he says that Yaakov Avinu was able to face up to this Malach and to make sure that he wasn't defeated. Therefore, Bnei Yisrael mustn't eat the Gid Hanoshe. Liyois Lahem, Lizikoroin, Udisif Eres. Similar wording to the Bechor Yeshua. Ki Avihem Nilcham Im HaMalach. The Rashbam also says that idea as well. So we see that within the Bali HaTosis, that was the Mahalach that they took over here, that it's a commemoration of this event over here, that Yaakov Avinu was protected and he was strong enough that the Malach could not defeat him. The third pshat of the Chizkuni, I'm not really sure what he's trying to say there. I did try to look around to see if anyone explains it. I will share it with you. And then if anyone has any understanding of it, then maybe they can share it with us. Which is that because Yaakov, he says, because Yaakov was injured on the Gid Hanoshe, Kiblu Aleihem Bonov Mishon Ve'elech, his sons accepted upon themselves, his descendants from then on was accepted, Shelo Yoichli Mimenu. Because he was injured there, therefore they accepted upon themselves not to eat. And he brings a moshel. The moshel he brings is somebody, for example, who had a very, very bad headache. Or somebody had some kind of pain in one of his evorim, one of his limbs. And he's mekabel upon himself not to eat that aver from an animal, that corresponding aver. So he had a pain in his leg, so he won't eat a leg from a chicken. He had a pain in his thigh, he won't eat a thigh of a chicken, whatever it is. Why? Kadeshi heiloi oiso her aver the refua, or there's another giris over here, that kadeshi yiye loi refua. So that he should get a refuah. So it's some kind of kabbalah that a person takes upon themselves. A person goes through something, some problem. So we know that it's a good thing a person should take upon themselves a kabbalah. It's a good thing, strengthen yourself in some particular area. And that will hopefully be a zechus of the person's refuah. But why exactly refraining from eating the Gid Hanoshe, which wasn't a mitzvah as such, just he's saying that they took it upon themselves to do that. How that should be that Kabbalah should work and how that should help that he should get some kind of refuah. I don't know exactly how that works. Some kind of precious, some kind of separation of yourself from something that you maybe otherwise would have wanted to eat. I don't know exactly what the pshat is in the Chizkuni. Okay, let's move forward. Okay, so another pshat, different to what we've seen so far, is found in the Sefornoi. The Sefornoi is Pirush on Chumash. Very short point over here, but he's saying, I think, quite a lot. So he says, on the Pasuk, Al-Kain lo yochli b'nei Yisrael, therefore b'nei Yisrael shouldn't eat the Gid Hanoshe. Why? K'dei sheyiyeh ha-hezek asher hura b'negiyas kaf ha-yorech, hezek b'dova bilti nechshav etzleinu. The actual hezek that occurred, the actual injury that occurred to Yaakov here is something which is on something that's not important to us. That's what he says. What does he mean? That the injury should be something on something that's not important to us. So I think this is kind of working backwards. It's saying that if, let's say, the injury would have been on a more significant part of the body, and the Torah would have said, therefore, you're not allowed to eat that part of an animal as a commemoration of that, etc., then that will be a financial loss to us. If you buy a behemoth and a large part of that animal, a significant part of that animal, you're not able to eat, that would be a financial loss to us. And when you multiply that by all the behemoths that would want to be consumed, it would be a big loss. So what the Torah says over here is that the hezek that occurred was on something which is not very important to us. Hezek bedover bilti nechshav etzleinu. It's something which is very, very sort of unimportant. It wasn't something that actually caused a major hezek, major damage. One of them, the Pirushim on the Sefana, he says it like this. Pirush, simen abonim, shahahezek shiyikrimu lohem b'nei Esav yiye kal be'erech. K'may achidas gid hanoshe she'ein loitam v'hezekoi ma'at. What they explain over here in the Sefarnoi, it's taking a little bit more than what the Sefarnoi actually says. But we know that the whole fight over here, as we mentioned earlier on, is representative of the fight between Klal Yisrael and Esav throughout the Doiros. Esav is Edom, etc. And the simon that's been, the remez that's been given to us over here, is that that harm that Esav would be able to cause to us throughout the Doiros will be something which we consider as like Achidas Gid Hanoshe. Achidas Gid Hanoshe is not something we would really want to eat anyway. It's not something that really bothers us all that much, the fact that we are not able to eat for it. It's something which doesn't have any taste. It's something which we don't suffer any financial loss by not being able to have it. And therefore the remez is that the suffering, so to speak, that Klal Yisrael would get, without minimizing it in any way, but in the bigger picture, we would understand that it's for our good. We would understand that Klal Yisrael will survive. Whatever they would want to do to us, we will be here. We will still be here, enduring. That's how one of the Mefarshim on the Sefarnoi says the Pshatim, what the Sefarnoi is saying. Okay, a couple more points. I saw that Rav Osher Weiss Shlita points out in his Sefer Minchas Osher, he points out that this idea that we've seen in the Bali HaTosfos, the Rashbam also says it, that this mitzvah, that you're not allowed to eat the Gid HaNosher, is lizikoroin gvurosoi shel Yaakov, to remember the strength of Yaakov, as we explained, v'neis, and the neis that occurred, the miracle that occurred, she'osa lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu shelo imeis, because Baruch Hu made it that he didn't die. So that whole salvation of Yaakov that took place at that time, and that he didn't die, and this is a memory of that, so we should remember the nes that occurred. So Rosh Hashanah points out an interesting point, that any time we have any mitzvah which is a zecher lenes, we always find that it is a mitzvah asay. So for example, for Yetzias Mitzrayim, matzah, moror, sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, these are all mitzvahs that we have, but we find that they're always a mitzvah sase, even in mitzvahs derabbanon. The nes, well, chometz is not necessary for the actual nes as such of that took place of Pesach, Yetzias Mitzrayim. It doesn't commemorate the nes part of it. You generally find that when it's to do with a positive, you find it's a positive mitzvah always, a mitzvah sase. And he brings even in Derabbanons as well, for example, Mikra, Megillah, and Purim, Hadlokas Ner Chanukah, Inona de Yoima, the title of the Shia apparently, Hadlokas Ner Chanukah, all these things are always mitzvah saseh. So it's unusual to find a zecher to a nes, which is a loy saseh. Just points out that that's one chiddush that we're finding over here in this mitzvah. The second chiddush that he points out, interestingly, is that generally, let's go over that list again, of Nisim, where we do find mitzvahs for commemorating a nes. So one point is that they're all mitzvahs are say. Secondly, They're all nisim that occurred to Bnei Yisrael as a whole. Chanukah, Purim, Pesach, they're all nisim that occurred to the entire nation. Here, we're talking about a nis that occurred to a yochid, which is Yaakov Avinu. That's the second ha'orah that he points out. He backtracks a little bit from that one, because he says that Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov is Yisrael, Yaakov is the forerunner of Klal Yisrael. The Zoya says that Yaakov is the shevish of the shomus of all of Klal Yisrael. So you could say that a nes that occurs to Yaakov Avinu is like a nes that occurs to the entire nation. And therefore, it is similar in that respect to other mitzvahs which are designed to remember a nes. But the first ha'ora, the first comment that he makes over here, which is unusual to find a mitzvah, which is a mitzvah lois aser, which commemorates a nes, as opposed to having a mitzvah aser. Okay, we're going to conclude with the words of the Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch says, and this ties us back to what we mentioned before, well-known idea that this fight is a fight between not just Yaakov and Malach of Esav, but Klal Yisrael and Esav, the progeny of Esav throughout the Doris. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, the Mitzvah Gimel, Mishol Shei Mitzvah Zu, the underlying idea of this mitzvah, Kedei Shetiyeh Remez LeYisrael, this should be a hint for Klal Yisrael, Sh'afal Pi Sheyispulu Tzorois Rabois Bagolois Miyad Ho'amim V'Miyad B'nei Esav, even though we will suffer tremendous sorrows from the Goyim, specifically from Esav, and we have done throughout the ages, all the way up to the current time as we speak. Yeyu betuchim shelo yoivdu. We must nevertheless be assured that we will not be destroyed. Ela la'olam yamoid zarom ushmom, that we will always endure our descendants, our name. Ve'yovei lahem goyel, the goyel will come, the Mashiach will come. V'yigolem miyad tzar, and he will redeem us from the oppressor. U'bezochrom tamid inyan zeh al yad mitzvah shetiyel zikoroin. By remembering this idea through this mitzvah, whereby one refrains from eating the gid hanosheh and the other parts of the animal which are very much around it. Yamdu be'emunosom mustidkosom. Klal Yisrael will stand firm in its emuna, in its tzidkus, in its righteousness, lo'olam forever. The remez is because this malach who fought with Yaakov Avinu, shebo bekabola shehoya soroi shel Esav. Chazal tell us it was the soroi shel Esav. Rotzo lo'okroi liyakov in ha'olam, hu v'zaroi v'lo yocholo. He wanted to destroy Yaakov, to uproot him, to get him rid, to annihilate him from the world. And this we've seen throughout the Doiris, one Doir after the other. This is what Esav wants to do. This is what Esav tries to do. V'tziyaroi b'negiyas hayorech. In the story over here, he hurt him, he gave him pain by touching over there, banging him over there. V'chein zera Esav, mitzayer the zera Yaakov. They will oppress us, they will call us pain. V'labasoif tiyaw lehem teshuah mehem. But like it says, and says the Sefer Chinuch, v'yizroch loy Hashem, Hashemesh, the Shemesh sun for him. Hashem brought out the sun, and that created a refuah for Yaakov, and he was saved from the sar. Kain Yizrach loy Hashemesh al Moshiach. So too, the Shemesh al Moshiach will shine for Yaakov, for his descendants. V'yipayenu mitzareinu v'yigaleinu b'mheiru v'yomeinu. Amen. He says amen as well, right? And he says the Moshiach will come the same way as Yaakov was saved over here. And the Mashiach will come for us in exactly the same way. So we find ourselves in a time, people speak a lot about the anti-Semitism all over the world, different places, the increase of it. People are very worried about these things, but people have to relax a little bit. Because Shmuel gives us an assurance over here. Whatever Esav wants to do, whatever they try to do, and they may, Chas v'Shalom, have been successful. Shmuel is there, he's there to protect us. Shmuel will ensure the Mashiach will come at the point when he decides it will come. We won't be destroyed, we won't be wiped out. And this is the message of the mitzvah of Gid Hanoshe.
Sorry, more than Sipona, I didn't quite understand.